is seeking to kill David, and he's pursuing him with a vengeance. David finds an opportunity to smite Saul, but he refuses to do that. And we'll pick up with the story in verse 10. As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord, or thy Lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy Lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand this day, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also thou shalt prevail, or shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Genesis 2 and 1 Samuel 26 speak of two miracles involving, strangely enough, sleep. Sleep is the state of man's body where it is rendered unconscious, or at least partially so, though the mind and heart may very well be still active. It's a kind of an inexplicable thing. How do you describe sleep? What exactly is it? It's a state of bodily repose, but not always is the mind in such activity that we have dreams and conversations and so on. Strange things sometimes come from dreams. He Ecclesiastes indicates that usually it's because of a multitude of business. I don't know if that's always the case. I had a strange dream. It was either last night or the night before. You cannot always tell. But I was watching. Maybe it's because I've been studying this topic. I was watching, and I was shocked to see some of my brethren in the ministry on a basketball court on a Sabbath day. And I don't know why. I was just saying, I'm surprised. I didn't think that they would do that. And that was the dream. Then it was over. So I don't know, strangely, how things come into your mind, and I'm glad that they weren't true. So your mind sometimes is very active. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2 says, I sleep, but my heart awaketh. But God's resources are multiple and varied. It says, a deep sleep from the Lord came upon man. One was for good, and one was not so good. All of created resources become ours, though, in the covenant of grace. How we can thank the Lord for His goodness to the children of men. Even for something so little, it seems, and yet so necessary, and so much time is spent in this resource. Probably at least a third of our lives are spent in bed, sleeping. A third of our lives. I'd like us to consider the divine uses of sleep today, or we might call this message the sleep of God, as suggested by the miracles involving such. And certainly we see what a reservoir of resources is available to the Lord. And how vulnerable man is. God, who never sleeps, has ordained that man spend at least a third of his life in this vulnerable condition. How can anyone think that he is in control of his life when one third of his life is totally out of control? Think of the crimes that are committed when people are sleeping. Think of the murders that are committed when people are sleeping. Think of how many people last night died in their sleep. But think of the blessings as well, of how many Christians died in their sleep during the night, went home to be with the Lord. I know it seems like a strange topic, and I seem to want to continue to go on to the next miracle, but this just continued to bother me. So I feel like I just want us to think about the sleep of God, or divine uses of sleep. Sleep is a gift to finite man. Do we see it that way? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Genesis 2:21 says, a deep sleep fell upon Adam. I think this tells us, by the way, at least it seems to settle a question that people have. Did unfallen man have to sleep? Was sleep a part of the life of unfallen man? I think the answer is there. If man didn't sleep, all it would have said was that the Lord caused a sleep to fall upon man. But it says He caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. So it was something he wasn't ordinarily used to. Not that he wasn't used to sleep, but he wasn't used to deep sleep. He was used to being able to wake up and to be recuperated. Yes, even unfallen man was finite, was in need. He was in need of rest, certainly. He was in need of sleep for his body, but rest for his soul. He needed a Sabbath day. He needed to sleep. He needed food. He needed water. He had needs. God did not make him needless. He did not make him sovereign in the sense that he made him with a need to worship, a need to be dependable to depend upon God. And yet today we have this idea that man who's fallen has left me. How illogical that is. How much more do we need to depend upon God? Because evil is perpetrated during these vulnerable hours. How much more does fallen man need a Sabbath, who now has all kinds of tangents, not just good tangents, but evil tangents at his disposal? We are even more dependable upon the Lord in a fallen world. The Bible says that God made day and night. So certainly during the night was the time that Adam and Eve slept for as many days that they were in their unfallen state. What a gift. We see here it was a sedative and pain. Now, I don't know when anesthesia was discovered. I seem to think later than earlier. But if men had just read the Bible, usually they used alcohol or something to numb the pain. But sooner or later they discovered that it would be better to see man put to sleep. And the Lord put Adam into a deep sleep. Yes, Adam would have felt pain. You asked, did Adam feel the after effects of a missing rib? Perhaps. I don't know. Yes, unfallen man felt tired, but also unfallen man felt pain. And the Lord was kind to him. That does not tell us that we have one less rib, by the way. No more than if I cut my finger off today and my wife had a child, I would have 10 fingers and not 9. So the Lord took that rib from Adam to make Eve. But he showed again the kindness of the Lord, and the kindness of the Lord in this day of sin and evil, all kinds of accidents, that man has this gift from the Lord, sedatives that have been discovered to alleviate pain. Sleep is a blessing in toil. Well, how God's people do toil, and necessarily so. Psalm 127:2 says he giveth his beloved sleep. What a blessing it is after a toilsome day of laboring for the Lord, laboring to put food on our tables that we can lay down our heads and rest, sleep. There's a time to sleep and a time to be awake, and he giveth his beloved sleep, but I can't say that he giveth his beloved sleep during the sermons. Some people seem to indicate that it's a gift even during a message. Not so. Genesis 28. Sleep is a platform for revelation. And I'm not saying that God appears in dreams anymore, but I think people have recognized their vulnerability even today by the fact that they sleep and are realizing how they're vulnerable in their minds even to the devil's temptation during sleep. Genesis 28, along with many other passages, indicate that men and women were put in a receptive position, though they were rebellious. The Lord used that vulnerable position to show them their vulnerability and their need of him. For it says, when Jacob lay down to sleep, behold, a ladder. Here was Jacob running from trouble, thinking that he was running from God. He lay down and slept. The Lord graciously appeared to him and showed him a ladder. Jacob, you need Christ. You're a lost soul. I'm here, Jacob. Wherever you are, I'm here. You need a mediator between God and man. Do you sense your vulnerability? You sense your need, your weakness? The strongest of men and women need sleep. And they lay in a vulnerable state to the devil and his demons. And even, yea, Forget the devil and his demons. Man is vulnerable to the God who often during the night says, today, yea, tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. We ought never to take anything for granted. We ought never to presume upon God. When we lay down and sleep, do we ever say, Lord, keep me during the night. Strengthen my body that I might be able to awake and serve the Lord. The infinite condescends to the finite, for he needs no sleep. Though it says, Lord, awake, sleep is used as a figure for his silence, for his seeming inactivity. For when we sleep, there is inactivity. But God does not sleep, nor does he slumber. And his silence and his inactivity are for reasons. Is it because we have sinned against him? We need to search that out. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. If God is silent to you today, and inactive, it seems, in your life, could it be that you have offended him? And it's not wise to offend the God of heaven. It is not wise to harden your heart against the omnipotent God. It's not wise. It's not wise for you. It's not pleasing to him. But could it be that you're waiting in faith and repentance? Darkness seems to be about you. But like Isaiah 50:14 says, stay upon your God. He's not going to be silent for long. Oh, for months, it seems Job had silence and darkness. But we have seen the end of the Lord, that he is gracious and merciful. Wait on the Lord. Not wait, as many say, I'm waiting for the Lord in the sense that I'm doing nothing. Wait on the Lord during your silence and darkness by praying, by obedience. When God is silent, be obedient still. Is there any reason to be disobedient? Any reason? There's no logical reason, no right reason to be obedient. It's suicidal to be disobedient. It's displeasing to God. It hurts your soul. It hurts your family. It hurts the church. It hurts your neighbor. For there's no positive influence coming from the light of disobedience. There's no saltiness. Become trampled under the foot of men. There's no light. There's no leaven. Sleep is a gift to finite man. As all gifts, they are exploited at times and abused by men, but they can be useful arsenal in combat. We find that sleep is a gift to finite man. It's a weapon against fallen man. We're told here that the Lord, in a miracle, again, now uses it as a weapon against sinning man. 1 Samuel 26:12, a deep sleep had fallen upon Saul and his army. Oh, the vulnerability, especially of rebellious man. See, God has all the resources at his disposal. How can you fight against God and win? What doest thou against him? Man only hurts himself by fighting against God and against his kingdom and against his people. You do God no harm. Oh, you may harm others. You can't harm God. Harm yourself when you kick against the pricks. Thank God that he guards us in the night seasons. Even there were times that he caused people to be sleepless, he took the gift away for his own purposes. If Ahasuerus had slept, been able to sleep, he would have never had the reward of Mordecai in his mind the morning that Haman came to hang him on his gallows. Sleep, like any other gift, can be given over to indulgence. Often sins, which are transgressions of God's law, are abuses of God's gifts and His goodness. Gluttony is abuse of food. Idolatry is an abuse of man's need of visual aid and means of worship. Adultery is abuse of bodily needs. Sloth is an abuse of sleep and rest. Sloth is a breaking of commandment number 8, stealing from God and stealing from man, stealing God's time that He's allotted to us. Stealing from man who needs our gifts and needs our time and needs our efforts. We ought to monitor our sleep. Do we sleep too much? Awake thou that sleepest. Sleep can be used as an excuse for despair. It's a deceitful remedy for despair. Jonah put the lives of those mariners in danger, and he tried to sleep away his despair and to assuage his disobedience. Awake thou that sleep. Pray unto your God. Sleep is a blessing, but like anything else, we need to know when we've crossed that threshold into transgression. The Bible says, "Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" We need to listen to the Spirit of God when He says it's time to awake, it's time to read, it's time to pray, it's time to work. The love of sleep is like the love of money. We need sleep, but we must make sure that sleep is a useful gift, that we control it and it doesn't control us. The Bible uses sleep as a figure of speech for death, for it says in 1 Corinthians 11:30 that it was a chastisement for serious sin. Many are sickly among you and many sleep. The Lord has an arsenal against transgressors. And sometimes He gives transgressors over unto the indulgence of sleep, but sometimes He uses the sleep of death, as the Scripture says, to take home a rebellious transgressor. You see, God is not harmed. Let us not wear out the long suffering of God. Sleep is the sleep of judgment. God gives over people to the sleep of death. Jeremiah 51:39, "They shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake." The death of the wicked. The wicked sleeps in the dust. Their body sleeps. And they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Ahab slept with his fathers. And though it's the same statement of David as the first one being said to sleep with his fathers, but I see a distinction here. Ahab slept with his wicked fathers, his wicked forefathers. David slept the sleep of death with his righteous forefathers. The sleep of death, it's called in Psalm 13:3. God's power over man in the intermediate state. He keeps the body sleeping. Man is kept under the power of God until that resurrection day of the just and the unjust. Sleep is a gift to finite man. It's a weapon against fallen man. But believers have the sleep of death changed from a menace to a comfort, for it's a hope for faithful man. It will be a comfort and bereavement for us to have the sleep of death. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4 that those who die in Christ sleep in Jesus. And God will bring the them with us at that day of the trumpet being sound. He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Their bodies await the resurrection of the just. Luke 8:52, Jesus said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." I love that expression. I understand that it means that her death right now is temporary, but that's an expression that we can find, we take with great comfort. When you think of our brother Fred, who over 6 months ago now died. He's gone. But you know he's not gone. Weep not, brother and sister. He's not dead, but he sleeps. Yes, his soul is with the Lord, but the absence from the body, he's present with the Lord. He's in heaven. He's seeing Christ. He's worshiping the Lord. He's singing the songs of Zion. He doesn't meet despair any longer. He doesn't meet temptation any longer. How we rejoice that the Lord will cause our bodies to sleep. Yea, they're dead, but in a sense they're just sleeping. That body will rise again. It's dead. It's decomposing. But His body will rise again. Sleeping in the dust shall awake everlasting life. Shall there be sleep in heaven? We're still finite, but I don't see there's any night there. I don't see that there are any beds there. There are mysteries involved with the future. But what a blessed thought. One third or longer, possibly more, even one fourth. If we sleep 8 hours a day, it's one third. 6 hours a day is one fourth. But think of this. All that time is now given back to us in eternity. We won't be able to say, 10,000 years is really only 7,050 years or 7,500 years because we'll be sleeping. No, no. When we've been there 10,000 years, those 10,000 years will be waking moments. Think of all that time that we have. We're here. What could we have done if we didn't need 6 hours a day of sleep? We'll all be redeemed that day. For God, who can make a body that isn't consumed by the flames, He can make a body that is not needing that unconsciousness. What a comfort to the bereaved. What a comfort at death, where we're told whether we wake or whether we sleep, we will live together with Christ. On my deathbed, I hope I can stand just going to sleep. My sleep will be a little bit longer than it's ever been before. But I'm going to awake at that day. What a courage in tribulation. For even our present sleep, why sleep worriedly? Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Isn't that a wonderful text? How did he do that? He slept between two soldiers, knowing that his execution was just hours away. Because though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Ezekiel says, they shall sleep in the woods. I think that you can take that text in a couple of ways. That, you know, it's very hard to sleep in the woods alone without weapons around you these days. A lot of dangerous things in the woods. But Ezekiel had this, when God is with you, you can sleep in the woods. Even those wild animals, He's put a fear in them of man. You put a little baby in the woods and you put all kinds of other baby animals in the woods. What's the safest? The Lord says the fear of man. The babies, humanly speaking, the safest to sleep in the woods. But even the ravenous beasts take babies today because sin has removed partially the factor of the fear of God in animals. But I think it's a foreshadow of the millennium or heaven. We will sleep in the woods. It is. There will be no menacing threat to the people of God. For without our dogs, sorcerers, liars, no menace. The walls are tall. The safety is clear. The Bible tells us, by the way, that we'll have celestial bodies, and I think that's one of the proof texts that we're not going to need sleep. We have terrestrial bodies today that need sleep. The Bible says there is a body that's of the earth and there's a body of heaven. Angels have celestial bodies. And I don't read where angels need to sleep. And the Lord says we'll be as the angels. There won't be any marrying and giving in marriage. And can we go on to say there won't be any sleep? There won't be any craving. What a blessing to have a celestial body. The Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, could walk through a wall and appear to the disciples who were terrified. What a blessed day is coming. When our face shall be sight and our bodies will be changed, and we will forever be with the Lord. This body will be is sown in weakness when it dies, but it will be raised in power, the Bible says. But until then, He giveth His beloved sleep. The God of miracles has every resource at His disposal. I hope that you see that nothing is too little to recognize the blessing from God. Nothing is little if God is in it, someone said. The Lord takes every aspect of our life and changes it into a blessing in the covenant of grace. Sleep, which often is abused and was often a time that I dreaded, as I told you so many times, I dreaded when I was lost sleep because I worried about dying. I worried about my parents dying. Listening at their door for just their sounds. Hoping one more day would come. But it was a hopeless thing to a lost soul without any light. Because, okay, December 25th came for them. What about December 26th and the 27th? What a blessing to be converted. To be able to lay down your head at night and say, Lord, into Thy hands, I commit myself. I commit my body now. And if my body sleeps the sleep of death, into Thy hands, would You take my spirit? Oh, I can't commit it. I have no power to lay down my life nor to take it up again. But the God who has that power is with us because He has saved us by the covenant of grace. God who uses sleep for His own glory. Divine uses of sleep, the God of sleep. Would you recognize the gifts of God? Would you recognize the blessings that God's people have in the covenant of grace? That every resource in life can be turned into a witness to Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that nothing would be too little or too insignificant for us to see grace and the goodness of God. Whether it be, Lord, the opening of a flower, whether it be the falling of a raindrop, the appearance of a rainbow, or whether it be every single day, every single night, the fact that you give your beloved sleep, we pray, Lord, that we would see your hand. That when we lay down our heads, that we might think upon your goodness to Adam, your protection of David, the blessing of your grace in this day of evil, the hope, Lord, of the resurrection from the dead when these bodies are laid to sleep. Thank you that you are the God of miracles. Nothing is past your usage. Lord, who are we but dependent upon your goodness and grace? So, Lord, use this message that seems strange in some ways, yet, Lord, we see that the God of all resources is the God who we should fear, the God who we should trust. Lord, that we would be a people that seek to walk in obedience and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Pray that you'd make this day profitable. As we would perhaps use even the gift of sleep today, may we not abuse it. Lord, may it be used to strengthen us, prepare us to return again this evening, strengthen us to do your will. We bless you, Lord, for the hope of eternal life, and that the sleep and the dust is just for a temporary time. We're thankful for the day in which our bodies that were sown in weakness will be raised in power. And we shall have celestial bodies like Christ and forever be able to be with and serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.